This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Bob Zanotti taking on his ghostly aspect. He's telling us a story about his weird history in weird New Jersey. Bob?
Okay, well, I grew up in Hawthorne. And Hawthorne High School, where I went to school, was very, very close by the mountain. We called it Hawthorne Mountain. It probably has some official name. I think officially it's part of the Watchung Range of mountains. And I used to, you know, a kid on his bicycle, and I used to go all over the place on a bike. And I used to like to climb up the mountain. By Swiss standards, I'm in Switzerland. It's not a mountain by Swiss standards, it's a hill. But by New Jersey standards, it's a mountain. And up at the top of the mountain used to be a quarry owned by a guy by the name of Brain, B-R-A-E-N, I believe. And there was a UFO sighting up there, which maybe we could discuss in a moment or two. But I used to like to hike it. I just enjoyed it climbing up there. I parked my bike down at, you know, the bottom, just off Goffle Road, Goffle Brook Park and Goffle Road. And yeah, I can hear you nodding in the background, Mark. You know exactly what I'm going to come up with here. And I would park my bike and start walking up. And it was a part of New Jersey, a part of Hawthorne, which I just didn't know existed. It was like another world. There was something like going into another dimension, if you can imagine that. I lived in the built-up area, and the first thing I noticed, the first time I did the hike up to Brain's Quarry, I came upon the creepiest little cemetery that was absolutely dilapidated. It was disused. Well, disused, I mean, the dead are still there. But it was just in disrepair. And it was so creepy, and there was a house right next to it. And I thought to myself, who the heck would want to live in that house? It's so creepy. And it turns out that there's a little, it's an old Jewish cemetery. Maybe you can pick up the story when I leave it. But right next, a couple of houses away from that, another weird thing, and we called it, and in your writings, you call it the Hawthorne Boathouse. And the weirdest thing is, I mean, there's no water there. It was called the Boathouse because somebody, and I just don't know the story. I'm going to have to ask you what you know about it, but we never know, or we never knew who lived there, but it was a weird place. Nobody wanted to go there. It looked like a boat. The architecture was like a boat. And I asked my aunt, who's 90 years old, I asked her about this a couple of years ago. I said, hey, Aunt Rufy, do you know anything about the boathouse up there, the Goffle Road? And he said, yeah, I don't know anything about it, but it's a place you don't want to go to. So that sets the scene, Mark. Pick it up from there. That creepy cemetery and the boathouse. What do we know about it?
Well, when we visited the boathouse, probably about 25 years ago, it was totally abandoned and pretty much wrecked. I mean, I don't really, it looked like a tugboat, actually. It didn't look like a boat, you know. It looked like a tugboat. And I'm sorry, Bob, I don't really know that much about it. Just that it's, we called it the Hawthorne Boathouse because we were doing a article on houses that look like not houses. So it was the boathouse. Then we did the cookie jar house, and we did these other things. So to us, it was just this place where these teenagers used to go and hang out and drink beer all the time.
Nothing particularly supernatural about it then?
Not that I recall, no. I'm sorry.
But, what, you know, I can't help but wonder. I mean, I'm not expecting you to come up with the answer, but just sort of wondering and thinking and musing out loud, Who built that place? What happened to them? I saw a picture on your website, refrigerator abandoned, a washing machine left in ruins. I mean, how does something like this happen? How does somebody just abandon a house like that?
Well, sometimes, people just die and people just do not claim the property. And that's what happens to most of these houses that become abandoned. And, eventually it gets, graffitied up. And eventually, once it gets featured in the magazine, it usually gets burned down, which I believe it did.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It was creepy. And what about that Jewish cemetery, an old Jewish cemetery? Do you know that story?
Yeah, I was thinking of another Jewish cemetery that's kind of landlocked, but it's not in that area.
And apparently, from what I understand, there's actually a second small, very obscure cemetery there in the same place, just a little bit farther down. I don't know what was so attractive about putting a cemetery in there. It's not wide open. It's not very hospitable. There's no place to park. I mean, it's difficult to access. I don't know why anybody would want to put a cemetery there, but the Jewish cemetery I mentioned is in really bad shape. As far as I know, it was in bad shape, 60 years ago when I was a kid.
Well, you got to think of when was the cemetery built? Is it 150 years old? Do people really get buried there anymore? Do people maintain the property? And that's usually makes for the best creepy cemeteries, the ones that are overgrown and not kept up.
Well, this one could have been used as a Hollywood set. I mean, it was that creepy. And there was another one just a couple of hundred feet away, apparently. I don't know if it was a Dutch cemetery. In fact, the name of the road, I didn't even know it had a road. I didn't even know there was a road there. A Dutch name, because the Dutch were all over the place there at one time. And these things are ancient. What about other obscure cemeteries and weird graves in New Jersey? Got a couple of stories for us.
Well, up in Newton, there's this place called the Cave Grave. And it was a cave. As Northern New Jersey had a lot of mining operations. And there were a few kids that went into the cave and got lost and never came out again. So after they gave up the search finding these kids, they decided to put a big stone over the entrance to the cave. And they put the kids' names on it. So that's kind of strange, right? That's like a
wow.
Weird grave site.
Very much, very much.
So we have
go ahead.
We have some great grave stones. We have that Mercedes tombstone in Linden, which is a big scale model of a,
Mercedes-Benz.
Diesel.
When you mention Mercedes, I think of the fact that they had these cheap lease prices for a new Mercedes back in the 80s. And these were the worst built cars I ever drove.
Well, this one in the cemetery is made out of one piece of granite, so it's not going very far.
Well, maybe I should have bought that one. But the ones I leased had gas engines, not diesel engines. So maybe that was my mistake.
I was going to say the guy buried underneath the car isn't going anywhere either.
Actually, the gravesite takes up 14 plots. It's pretty impressive. I mean, it was built by this guy whose son always wanted a Mercedes, but he died before he got his driver's license. So he decided to build this huge monument to his son. And it's one of the most incredible things you would ever come across in a graveyard.
Isn't there one devoted to the Three Stooges?
Oh, yes. That's another one, too, right? I mean, only in New Jersey. Wouldn't you believe that? Mo, Larry, and Curly on the head of a tombstone.
So whatever happened to Shemp?
Because the guy loved the Three Stooges.
But unfortunately, he didn't get Shemp.
Well, I guess they couldn't afford a fourth head on the tombstone.
Maybe four Stooges. Hey, we've got more to come. We're talking about weird New Jersey. And you definitely want to check that out. In fact, when we begin our next segment, we'll tell you how to get the magazine. Mark Skirman is one of the chief cooks and bottle washers. Bob Zanotti is our special guest co-host this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire PowerCast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the PowerCast. After the PowerCast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the PowerCast Plus. With After the PowerCast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the PowerCast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with PowerCast guests. With PowerCast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the PowerCast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about PowerCast Plus.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the PowerCast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous PowerCast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, Mark, before we go on, we want to be commercial and crass here. If I want to get a copy of Weird New Jersey Magazine, where do I find it?
You simply go to weirdnj.com. You'll have all your weird needs right there before you.
It's a weird site you're saying here.
Yeah, we have stories, we have the current events and so forth and so on. And if you click on the store, you can see what we have for sale.
You know, I'd like to stay with the subject of obscure cemeteries and weird graves for a moment. Well, I spent my summers in Sussex County at Schwartzwood Lake outside Newton. You mentioned Newton before. And by the way, when you drive into Newton from the classic, the old road, there's a small cemetery there, and I can remember the names on the gravestones when I was a kid, and later as an adult, not long ago, doing the old tour of the area, the same gravestones, the same names there. I did an excursion across the border into Pennsylvania. You're very close to Pennsylvania there, the Delaware. This is a very historic area, and I remember going over to the Poconos. Now, anybody from the New York, New Jersey area knows the Poconos. They're on the Pennsylvania side. It's a very, very popular vacation area, recreation area on the Pennsylvania side. And I remember driving just along the Delaware on the Pennsylvania side to a place called Lackawaxen. And the Lackawanna Railroad goes through just that area. We'll get to that in a moment too. But I have to be careful how I tell the story. I was driving to Lackawaxen on this very, very deserted road, and I had the need to take care of what we could euphemistically call personal maintenance. And there was nobody there, so, I mean, I wasn't doing anything really bad. And anyway, I took care of that. And then I looked down, and I saw tiny gravestones at the edge of the road, on both sides of the edge of the road. The road apparently was paved right over an old improvised graveyard. Not big headstones, you know, not these big monuments, but little things, you know, with names on them and everything else. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, what have I done here? Where am I? Do we have anything like that in New Jersey, Mark?
Well, I think we have a lot of family graveyards. You know, I mean, you know, 100 years ago, people used to bury their loved ones in a plot in the lower 40 or whatever. So, you know, you have like, graves like that. I mean, it sounds to me like it was kind of like a children's grave or something.
I had the impression they were adults, but just hardly marked, you know. Mm-hmm. And there must have been maybe a dozen there. I don't know. Maybe they were children, but I thought it was really creepy, really creepy.
Well, I guess the Department of Transportation didn't worry too much about who was underneath the pavement when they put them.
Well, speaking of that, you know, weird New Jersey. The Garden State Parkway around Newark, the Garden State Parkway, which is the basic, well, this is the number two north-south route all the way to Cape May, goes right through a huge cemetery around Newark. And I often wondered, did they remove the graves or did they pave over them or what? You know where I mean, Mark, of course.
Yes, it's right right by where the Ballantyne Brewery was. No, I'm sorry, Pabst Brewery was.
Exactly. And the Pabst Brewery, there was a big beer bottle on top of the brewery. Yeah. It's the Pabst, yeah.
I believe when the parkway came through in the 1950s, they did move all those graves. But, you know, you always got to wonder, are you sure they got all of them? And I think they moved them over to the west side. That's why that other cemetery is on the other side.
Uh-huh. You're sounding like the plot line of the movie Poltergeist.
Yeah, right.
Where they have build these new homes and they're haunted. And it turns out at the end of the movie we learn, well, they took the tombstones, but they didn't take the graves when they moved the cemetery.
You know, it's funny. I live in Bloomfield, New Jersey, and I'm also on the Historical Society, and I looked through a lot of pictures on when the parkway came through Bloomfield, and they tore up a lot of our town too, but I've never seen any photos of them actually moving the graves in Newark to build the parkway. So that would be interesting to see if we could find some of those photos, you know, actually seeing them, you know, taking up the bodies and moving them.
Maybe that would be one of your research projects, going around doing some research to find out if anybody's seen anything weird around there.
Actually, it is. We always have a list of things we want to get to, but we just never do because there's always something else happening.
You're in Bloomfield. Do they still make Charms candies in Bloomfield?
No, that's gone years ago.
Really?
Yeah, now the building is a Staples.
Oh, that's a pity. Charms used to be pretty good.
Yeah.
They were the competition to Lifesavers.
Before Charms, they used to make World War I ammunition.
Wow. Listen, we can maybe move over a little bit to UFOs, because the Paracast, the true love of the Paracast is ufology. And we have our stories in New Jersey about UFOs. What stories have you researched about, UFO stories, Mark? Mark, the Paracast, the great passion of the Paracast is ufology, UFOs. And I think we have our share of UFO stories in New Jersey.
Well, you got to remember, New Jersey ranks number 14 in the United States of UFO sightings. And you got to remember, we have a military base here. We're close to the water. So, yeah, we have a lot of UFO sightings here. And I think the most famous one was the one at the Wanacue Reservoir.
Well, we have to put a frame around that because, Gene, I don't know, do we want to spill the beans? I have, in the Coffee Clutch series, Augie Roberts and I went to Wanacue, the Wanacue Reservoir, which was not far from Franklin Lakes. That was in Wanacue, New Jersey, where there was a major UFO sighting. It was a flap. Back in, I believe, 1966, and it was in the winter.
Yes, January 11th, 1966 was the big day.
And it was freezing cold. Augie and I went out there. There was a police officer there with radar set up, and everybody was looking for this thing. Before I go into my story, and we can offer a feature here.
You know what? Let's do a break now, and we'll get people really, really queued up for more about Wanacue. So for Paracast Plus listeners exclusively, on the next After the Paracast, we will feature an exclusive set of interviews that Bob Zanotti and August C. Roberts did of Witnesses to Wanacue way back in 1966. We got more to come with Mark and Gene and Bob. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Over 200 world leaders reach a deal at the UN Climate Summit in Glasgow, Scotland, as it wraps up on Saturday.
Hearing no objections, it is so decided.
That's the president of the gathering, Alok Sharma, making the announcement as countries decided to step up their efforts on climate change over the coming year by bolstering their 2030 climate targets. It's looking to be a busy day for news on this upcoming Monday. Monday to start the week. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon expected to turn himself in on Monday morning after being indicted for contempt of Congress. Closing arguments will begin Monday morning in the Kyle Rittenhouse double homicide trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. President Biden will be signing the infrastructure bill at the White House at a big event in the afternoon, and then on Monday evening, he'll have a virtual summit with the Chinese President Xi Jinping. This is USA Radio News. A U.S. appeals court reaffirming its decision to place an order by President Biden regarding mandatory COVID-19 vaccines for workers at businesses with 100 or more employees is on hold. A three-person panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals upholding the decision, calling the mandate fatally flawed. The decision may soon be appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Biden administration is also under fire from many Republicans for its handling of the economy lately, especially when it comes to inflation concerns. Republican North Carolina Congressman Ted Budd is proposing a bill to require that all members of the Biden administration take a class about inflation.
I think the Biden administration needs to go back to school to study inflation, and that's what my bill does. It's absolutely out of touch with regular America, and it's hurting folks day in and day out.
He spoke on Fox News, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, just remember what Bob says there. WandaCue happening in January of 1966. And I was out there at the reservoir. I'll tell my story very quickly because then we'll get into more of this and maybe give a hint of some things we have in the winds from those who want to subscribe to the Paracast Plus. The situation here is I go out there, and Jim Moseley is with me, and I think Augie was also with me at this particular point in time, Augie Roberts. And I couldn't stop freezing. I had my jacket and everything, and I was shivering. And all I wanted to do was get off that road on top of the reservoir and get back in Jim's car and get the engine running. I just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, believe me, I know exactly where you're coming from because shortly thereafter, only a few days later, Augie and I went up there and did a repeat performance with an additional aspect to it. It was like a bridge, you know, across the reservoir. And by the way, the Wanakee Reservoir, if I'm correctly informed, is the biggest reservoir in the state of New Jersey. Huge, absolutely huge. Prior to this, there had been weird lights seen flying over the reservoir, I think at low level, at high speed. And this was reported by a number of people. And it had been witnessed also by the reservoir police, who are attached to the New Jersey State Police. So we had some reputable witnesses. Augie and I, for Coffee Clutch, you know, my show back in the 60s, we went there. And it was absolutely bitter cold. It was terrible. And the wind was blowing. And this was January. And January in New Jersey, northern New Jersey, can be horrendously cold. And we stood there. I had the recording. He and I just standing there doing a running commentary, waiting for something to happen. And that went on for a while. But to get to the point, we didn't see anything. I don't know about your story, Gene, if you saw anything.
All I did was freeze.
All you did was freeze.
I think they changed me into an icicle. Or maybe I was becoming like the character in the Batman comics who was infected by one of the inventions from Mr. Freeze.
Well, let me ask you.
Remember Mr. Freeze, folks, at all?
Let me ask you a question. How come there were so many eyewitnesses that saw this thing above the reservoir? Some people say they saw it go into the water.
Right.
Somebody must have been reporting these stories somewhere, correct?
It was in the Bergen Record, which was a major newspaper. You know the Bergen Record, Mark. It was a very serious newspaper. I think even New York Television came. I'm not sure who anymore. That night that we were there, freezing our tails off, we didn't see anything. But here comes the punchline. Augie and I, after freezing our tails off, made our way to the police station there at the reservoir. And we interviewed eyewitnesses, police officer and another eyewitness. We are going to be featuring that exclusive interview. And it was exclusive interview, eyewitnesses on Paracast Plus.
That indeed is the case. And you have to, if you're not a member of Paracast Plus, check out the Paracast.plus for more sign-up information from the archives of Bob Zanotti. I'll tell you one more story about Ronicky, okay? Bob and I knew this character named Jim Mosley. Mark, I don't know if you knew him or not.
I've spoken with him, yes.
Okay, so he, especially in the early days, had a penchant for playing jokes on people. And I remember this, and Jim later denied it, but I'll just drop it in there, okay? So Jim decided one day, we're at his home, or his apartment, I think it was in Fort Lee at the time, he decides, I'm going to call this police department and fake a UFO sighting. This was probably around January of 1966. And what police department do you think he called?
Ramapo.
Before the sighting occurred. How do you explain that?
Well, I don't know.
You know, we have all these testimonies from these people that actually saw something bright above the lake, the reservoir, and it was in beams coming out from it.
That's exactly it. In fact, there were newspaper depictions in those days. You know, they did hand drawings, and they all showed an object with beams coming out of it, beaming down into the water.
So then who did witness this? I don't think Mosley made it up and everybody else had a mass hysteria witness on this. Something must have happened.
Jim's contribution was strictly one phone call about a sighting. He had nothing to do with anything else there. I mean, it's not that he hadn't invented, in one case, a movie of a model that they called the Lost Creek UFO. Certainly he pulled stunts. Let's put it that way. But in this case, it was just a weird, weird coincidence. People did report something, obviously.
Well, Gene, I was just going to say, I mean, we know Jim. He was always up for a hoax. But that would be one explanation were it not for the fact that Augie Roberts and I interviewed a police officer and another eyewitness who described this in detail. So there was something physically there. It was not just Jim Mosley making it up.
Well, I never thought it was. I just thought he just glommed onto something, and it was one of those things where he could have called lots of places with fake UFO reports, but of all the places he could have called, one, he picks a distant place in New Jersey, and he picks it on the same time frame as something real happening. I don't think there's any psychic explanation. I just think it's a crazy coincidence.
It's a crazy coincidence. And, of course, Jim, I don't mean this pejoratively, but Jim was a city slicker. He was not a country boy. And why would he come up with Wanacue of all places? Maybe. Oh, wait a minute. It just came to me, stream of consciousness. Augie, I had a relation in Wanacue, who lived near the reservoir. And later in his life, in his last years of life, Augie actually lived at Wanacue, New Jersey, just at the edge of the reservoir. In fact, I assume he's actually buried there. So maybe that was the idea that Jim got indirectly from Augie, that Augie maybe mentioned Wanacue or something like that. But anyway, this sound document is there, and we'll be putting it up in After the Paracast, right, Gene?
Definitely put it up, and then those of you who listen can get a sense of actual witnesses to an actual case. And also how Bob and Augie would compile information like this.
Augie and I were a great team, I must say. Go ahead, Mark.
Interestingly enough, on October 10th, 1966, about 6 months after the Wanacue reservoir, the exact same thing happened. These lights appeared over the reservoir again. Police stations were jammed with calls saying these UFOs are back.
Well, I remember going back to Hawthorne, my hometown. We had a flap. I couldn't tell you the year anymore. It was maybe, 58, 59, maybe 60. Night after night after night, above Brain's Quarry on the Hawthorne Mountain, as we used to call it, orange lights were seen floating around there almost every single night. The Paterson Evening News, which was a major newspaper at the time, is now defunct. But the Paterson Evening News was running an ongoing report about it, and they were getting readers' accounts. I wrote to them because I saw the lights myself, and I didn't see any beams of light coming down from them. But it was like orange fireflies up there, big, balls of orange light, reddish-orange light floating around above the Brain's Quarry. And that was many, many years ago, and I can't think of what it possibly could have been.
We've got more to come with Bob and Gene. And Mark, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let us continue with that story, Bob.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw that. I witnessed it. We went outside and we could see them. I mean, it was maybe from where I lived in Hawthorne, which was not a big place, 16,000 people at the time. It's about the same now. Typical, New Jersey suburbia, New York area. But the night sky was pretty dark and we could see these things. And they just sort of floated around. And there was no organization, no order to them. They just sort of floated around there. And I never heard of an explanation. But I remember Augie in one of the Coffee Clutch shows talking about the lights that had been seen around Brain's Quarry. In fact, Dom Lucchesi, another of the New York regulars, was talking about the case. He recalled it in one of my shows as well. And I have no idea. I'm not claiming that this is related, but Augie brought it up hypothetically and said, up in Ringwood, West Milford, Ringwood, just around the state line with New York State, there was a fighter jet, a jet aircraft, a military aircraft, which crashed in the woods. And Augie asked hypothetically and rhetorically, what was it chasing? Now, I know you have featured that story, Mark, in Weird New Jersey. What do we know about that crashed aircraft, which I think is still in the woods?
It is. I think it crashed in 1967 in West Milford. I think it was on a routine, like, training mission. It was like one of these Lockheed Martin Sea Star trainers or whatever. I don't think the pilot died, but what exactly was it doing? What training mission was it going after to be in the middle of West Milford, right?
Well, that's exactly what Augie was speculating. What were they doing up there? Why would they be in West Milford? And what Air Force Base did they come from? We didn't have an Air Force Base around there.
Not close by, anyway. A lot of times, you know, today, like, people see a lot of strange things in the sky they can't explain. You can sometimes attribute it to drones, lanterns, things like that. But, you know, in the early 60s, they didn't have drones. They didn't have these things up in the air. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, if these things are alien crafts, you know, we've been emitting radio waves for the last 125 years out into space, and they travel hundreds of light years away. So if the aliens want to come down and look at us, they know where to find us. We're constantly sending out all these radio waves. So maybe they're just like these things are observing us. Maybe they're satellites. When do you think we're actually going to make contact?
Well, Mark, that's a brilliant point that you make. Today we could say, oh, that's, you know, somebody was fooling around with drones or, right. Lanterns. Nobody did that back in the 60s.
No, and, UFOs have been witnessed for 100 years. I mean, from, the big cigar-shaped things and everything else. So what exactly are these things doing?
Well, if you go back into the Vedic literature of India, it goes back 6,000 years, they talk about it. And, it's not a new phenomenon. You know, in the same vein and in the same part, northern New Jersey, near the state line, there's so much there that's really weird. Southern New Jersey, like the Jersey Devil, we can get into that, the Pine Barrens and the Jersey Devil in a few minutes. But let's stick in northern New Jersey, this exactly the same area. If you got a map, does anybody have a map anymore these days? Or look it up. Ringwood, New Milford. I remember my father taking me to abandoned iron mines around that area in Ringwood. Mahwa. West Milford, all in there, and there are lots of abandoned mines. And another friend of mine, who unfortunately is no longer with us, Bill Paris, and a very dear school friend of mine from high school, and he was appeared on my show a number of times. He and I have talked and swapped stories about these abandoned mines, and he's told me stories of hikers in that area who have gone into the mines. And at one point, one of them, a small party of adventurers went into the mines and turned around and went back because they heard weird sounds and light coming from, the bottom of the mines.
Deeros, there they are. You found the Deeros.
You made the point, Gene. Mark, what stories do you have about these abandoned mines and possible weird things going on down there?
Well, you got to remember, with these, a lot of these mines, the conditions weren't very great, and I'm sure a lot of people died in these mines trying to take, the copper or whatever ore they were taking out of it. So, and I'm sure a lot of people just got left behind and never really, came out again. And we do have a lot of, ghost tours in mines now. There's this one great mine in Hibernia up by Rockaway. It's closed off now, but on top of it is an abandoned graveyard of the miners who used to work in the mines. And it's just this abandoned graveyard out in the woods on top of the mine, on top of the mountain, and it's just a really weird place to go to.
I wonder, Gene, we talk about the Deeros, this underground race of beings. I mean, Jack Robinson was the great authority on the Deeros, the Shaver mystery, going back to the 50s, actually the 40s, wasn't it? Was it the 40s or was it the 50s, the Shaver mystery?
It was the 40s when Shaver wrote a letter to Ray Palmer, editor of Amazing Stories, a sci-fi magazine. And that's when it all started. Now, Shaver is somebody I knew in the final years of his life and interviewed. I just wish we had a recording of that interview. It was done on a cassette machine. And it's probably lying here somewhere in a box. And maybe it's retrievable and maybe not. But he was interesting, Shaver. He told his story really straight, really serious. And he had this very subtle sense of humor that we didn't hear till the end of the interview.
He was convinced that these underground beings existed.
Well, he paints this entire story of some kind of cataclysm thousands of years ago. And the people who were left behind when much of the population flew off planet stayed in the caves.
two races, Deros and Tiros. The Tiros being the good guys, the Deros being the bad guys who succumbed to the radiation and became horrible, disfigured dwarfs.
Well, what can we say? I mean, I don't know how reputable the people were who told Bill Paris the story, but he said it had told me in all sincerity, and the people who told him were absolutely scared out of their wits and ran out of the cave. They heard, like, engine noises down there and lights and noises of all kinds. You know, the cynic would say, or the skeptic would say, oh, it's some kind of secret military thing down there. I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. Anybody who's been to those caves, there's no evidence of military whatsoever. I don't see any military connection. And there's no evidence in those caves, or those mines, I should say, not caves, but the mines, of any kind of commercial activity. Going back to that crashed aircraft in the same area, Mark, does anybody have any reasonable idea about why they should, the military should just leave it there? That seems like a pretty messy thing to do. Just leave it there? Well, don't they want to take it away?
Because where it landed was in such a remote area. It crashed. It was just a bunch of metal. So there really wasn't much sense in taking it out. So they just left it there. I mean, when we went to see it, it's in the middle of a swamp. It's in the middle of a tick-infested area. So why would you even want to go back there and retrieve it? Because there was really nothing left of it.
Right. Okay. Speaking of UFOs and New Jersey, we have to bow our heads in reverence to Howard Menger.
Now, Howard Menger is a long story in and of itself. So, for the time being, we'll bow our heads to Howard Menger in a moment.
Old-time space conventions, right?
Something like that, yes. More to come with Gene, Mark, and Bob. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.